There's a high fly ball.
From KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Come back, pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you. Welcome in. Anything happened today? Oh, my God. You talk about a day that went from, like, 0 to 100 in a matter of a few minutes. 1:30, actually, it was like 1:35. We get a message that is telling us, all right, hey, there's going to be a Zoom press conference held by John Mozeliak and starting at 1:45. And then all of a sudden, we get the tweet from Jeff Passan that says, oh, by the way, Mike Schilt's being fired. And we're all like, what? And we get into this whole thing, and that's exactly what it is. Really unexpected day today. I mean, really unexpected. I haven't talked to anybody yet, texted with anybody yet that said, yes, I saw this coming. This is absolutely something, in my opinion. Now, I don't think I'm reading through between the lines too much here. I think I'm reading right into the lines that were spoken at the press conference today. This is clearly something that is the result of their postseason meetings. You know, every team does this at the end of the season, whether that's regular season, postseason, whatever. At the end of the season, you have organizational meetings. The front office, coaching staff, manager, scouts, analytics, everybody has meetings. They talk about, you know, everything, right? What just went on, you know, what was right, what was wrong. And then more importantly, how do we chart the path to next year for next year to be what we want it to be? And you talk about ideas, you talk about changes, roster needs, all kinds of things, right? Everything is talked about. And based on how everything was phrased today, based on the categorization that Mike Schilt was let go over philosophical differences, it sounds like that communication during these meetings did not go the way the front office wanted it to go, and they made a change. When asked directly today about, you know, whether or not this was because of the season, I mean, Mo flat out said, I thought the team was managed well this season. I mean, here, let's just, you know, I got a couple of clips I'm going to play. I don't want to go into too much of this because obviously the more we do, I mean, the more we dive into that, the less time we have to talk about, you know, kind of the why. Because I think we all know about the what. We're starting to learn about the timing here. But, you know, this was something that it didn't sound like was being discussed late in the year. In fact, Mo was asked whether or not this has been brewing for a while or whether or not this was something that just came up.
Yeah, candidly, it's been something that just popped up recently. And so, you know, ultimately, as I stated, I mean, certainly can always go into next year with a manager on a one-year deal. And, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But given all the sort of directional parts that we're trying to pull together, it just made more sense for us to cut ties now.
So with Mike Schilt having 1 year left, they had, you know, based on, the conclusions that they reach, you have a choice here, right? You go into a lame duck year, you engage in talks about an extension, or you move on. Like, those would be the three options that you have. And they said today, they were asked, were there talks of an extension? Mozeliak said no. And so, again, that leaves their choice between, you know, are you going to make a move on, or are you going to go in with kind of that lame duck year? And they chose not to go that route. Now, what the reason why I think this comes down to something to do with decision making for the offseason rather than decision making in season is the fact that there was no buzz on this. This is rare, man. Very rarely does a manager get fired where nobody expects it. I mean, literally nobody. There was no, hey, keep an eye, you know, on St. Louis, you know, could be a change there. Nothing from anyone, everybody. We're going to have Mike Claiborne on next hour. And obviously, you know, Claibs and I kind of work around the team a good bit. And we know all the other people that work around and for the team. And nobody's heard any of this before this news came today. In fact, Mo mentioned when he was asked that Schilt was shocked. Which means, again, this is most likely not about that thing that pissed you off during the season. This was not about lineup construction. This was not about Alex Reyes pitching in the wild card game. Although all of those things could be a part of a decision like this, right? I mean, no decision like this is simply one thing and one thing only. But there can be one thing that ends up tipping the scale in the direction of the decision. So, yeah, sure, those things that we've all talked about all season long, you know, various tendencies in the pen, sticking with Reyes too long, you know, whoever, you know, Tommy Edman batting in the leadoff spot without a high on-base percentage, whatever it is, sure, those things could be a part of it. But if those were the real motivational factors, motivational forces behind the move, you would think you would have had some lead-in. And by the way, you wouldn't think that if these were things talked about within the team, that the manager would be shocked. Right? I mean, normally, if you're in a position where you might be let go, you kind of have an idea. That's not 100% true. Having been through those things a couple times myself, yeah, you know, you don't always see it coming. You don't always have any idea. Maybe in one particular case with me, there were no meetings. There was no worry. There was no, hey, you've got to get this better or we got to get ratings better. It was, oh, hey, we're still cashing ratings bonuses, so must be doing all right. Hey, by the way, see you later. Like that happened, and I understand how Mike Schilt probably feels. I've done it. And by the way, on a personal level, this really sucks because Mike Schilt's a good dude. I've not spoken to anybody at any point during any of these years with Mike Schilt that has ever had anything but great things to say about him as a human being, and my interactions with him have lived up to that as well. So, I mean, this really sucks for a good guy that has spent a long time in this organization. So I want to make sure I point that out, too, because there is a human side of this that isn't just the baseball side. But I know, as fans, what you care about is the baseball side. So we got a lot more coverage on this throughout the night. Here's the game plan. I got a little bit more on, you know, maybe what was the straw that broke the camel's back. And again, it's just speculation. It won't be kind of any, you know, inside news or anything like that. But I'll get to that. We are not changing our plans, though, to talk to Craig Berube tonight. No matter how big this news is, the Blues season is starting Saturday. We're going to talk to Craig Berube at 6:30 about the Blues coming into the new year, and I'm very excited about that because I really like this team, and obviously Craig Berube is a lot of fun to talk to. So that's coming up at 6:30. We're not changing from that, but as you can imagine, both before and then well after that, we're going to be talking about the Cardinals' decision today to move on from Mike Schilt. We'll talk to Mike Claiborne next hour. We're going to take your calls next hour, so we'll tell you about how we're going to do that in just a little bit. But next up, we're going to go just a few minutes, kind of a sneak preview, a tease a little bit. Some of the things I've hit on throughout the day on the Glover Show and you know, I think it jumped over and went on with Mark Reardon, went on with Annie and talked about, you know, all of this. But I think that, you know, there are only a couple of things that qualify as philosophical differences. We'll kind of touch on what those might be next up here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan.
A personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on KMOX. Obviously, talking to Blues head coach Craig Berube in about 10 minutes. Very much looking forward to that. Season opening Saturday night in Colorado. And look, this is... We've talked a bit about it a couple of nights in a row. We talked about it with Andy Strickland last night. I've been saying for a while, I mean, this is a really deep group. One that looks like, you know, if you get a lot of breaks, could be pretty awesome. And if you get a mix of good and bad breaks, it's going to be there. Like, this is the kind of group that's built to sustain, you know, injuries or, you know, a couple people slumping here and there. So should be really fascinating to see what the team looks like. And, of course, we'll all... No, I won't, but a lot of people will jump to conclusions based on the opener, good or bad. Hopefully we won't do too much of that. But we'll be talking to Craig Berube in about 10 minutes. Other than that, we're talking about the news today, the Cardinals moving on from the manager Mike Schilt. Now, they very clearly categorized this as a change based on philosophical differences. Now, John Mozeliak was asked multiple times, could he get into specifics, like what specifically that means? And he said, nope. He is not going to get into what specific philosophical differences that they had. But I think we can, like, broad strokes, think about what philosophical differences are when it comes to a front office manager relationship, right? So it can be a communication thing, right? I don't want to listen to you. You don't, you know, whatever. I don't get that to be the case because these, you know, these guys have known each other for a long time. Clearly, you know, Mike Schilt has worked for the Cardinals for a couple decades and John Mozeliak's known him that whole time. So I wouldn't think that it's that. But I mean, again, anything can be, I mean, there are things that we don't know. So maybe, so you've got that. There's not, you know, this communication gap. And it doesn't seem like that makes a whole lot of sense in this particular scenario. When it comes to philosophical differences, it can be about how the roster is deployed. We give you the roster. Obviously, you know, that's kind of how the typical relationship used to be, right? Front office builds the team, manager makes the lineup. Well, that line has changed a lot in Major League Baseball in the last 10, 15 years, where front offices and analytics departments have more influence over who plays and when they play. And, you know, it's all based on splits. It's based on matchups with the opposing team, offense, defense. You know, some guys are better when you got a ground ball pitcher on the mound. Some are better when you got a fly ball pitcher. I mean, like, there's a lot more of a cross between those two worlds, right? It used to be, here's your roster, skipper. And the skipper would be like, okay, lineups and pitching changes are all me. And that's been changed, not just here. It's been changed all across Major League Baseball over the last 10, 15 years. But player usage could be a part of it. And since the team isn't giving us anything on this, we just have to consider everything. I don't think it's important right now to say this one thing did it. I know everybody on Twitter thinks that the one thing that's been bugging them all year is the one thing that led to this. Of course it is. Not that that's convenient for you or anything. But yeah, it could be about player usage. So an example of that I've used a couple times today. Go back to spring training. You know, the front office, John Mozeliak, talked about Alex Reyes as a guy that might throw 100 innings this year. Right? They were thinking like 100 innings, like multi-inning relief spots, try to build up so that in 2022, you got a workload built up where becoming a starter isn't as difficult. Now, that wasn't a hard and fast plan, but that's certainly something that John Mozeliak said. And come opening day, Alex Reyes is the closer. And a closer's not going to be used that way. A closer's not going to get 100 innings. He's not going to be building up multiple innings over the course of 6 months so that they can be ready to start the next year. So, again, I wouldn't go anywhere near saying that right there is why he did it. But it's that kind of thing, right? It's how does the front office view how the manager is deploying the resources that he's given? Now, given that Mo said he thought the team was managed pretty well this year, maybe it's not that. I'm just going through the things that fit this description of philosophical differences. I know right away, everybody went, I shouldn't say everybody, but a large number of people are messaging me like, does this mean that Schilt wanted to spend money and the front office says no? No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, technically it could, right? Like, you know, it's one of those things that's in the realm of possibility, but I mean, does it really sound like Mike Schilt to you that he's going to pound the table and say, we need to spend $300 million on a player? Like, it doesn't really strike me that way. But obviously, you know, if that fits your worldview, that's the first place you're going to go. But that is something that theoretically could be philosophical differences. Another area would be the makeup of the coaching staff. I want to move on from these guys or this guy, and I want to keep this guy or these guys. And the two sides can have a very different view of that. And given what just happened, and by what just happened, I mean the meetings that led up to this decision, the two things that seem to be the most likely to me of all of those kind of categories would be player usage, like plans for moving forward, right? Who do you want to count on? Who do you not? That kind of thing. What roles do we see guys in? And then the staff, because that's what you just talked about, right? That's what those meetings were when they met last Friday. It's those kinds of things. That's what the end of year meetings are about. I mean, it can be about the hitting coach, the pitching coach, bench coaches. It can be about all of them or none of them. One of them or five of them. I mean, you know, we don't know. But that does seem to be a pretty logical jumping off point as well. And considering how much we've talked about the hitting coach. And, you know, Mo was asked about Jeff Albert during the press conference today. And he said, well, Jeff's under contract for another year, and I would hope that he'll be back. So Who knows? Maybe there's friction in that as well. We're going to talk more about all of this coming up in a little bit. That's just kind of your appetizer. We'll take some of your calls next hour. Talk to Mike Claiborne after the 7 o'clock news. Next up, though, we're going to get a break from the firing and the hiring and the firing and the hiring. We're going to talk about a new season starting up on Saturday night. The Blues get going against the Avalanche in Colorado Saturday night. We're going to talk to Greg Berube next here on KMOX.
This Sunday, the Chiefs are in Washington to take on the football team. And you can hear the game here.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Pre-game at 11, kickoff 12 noon on your home for Chiefs football, KMOX.
Well, two nights from tonight, the Blues kick things off against the Avalanche in Colorado. Very much looking forward to a much more normal NHL season. I know nothing's completely normal in the world yet, but we're closer to that. 82 games, the whole deal, and very much looking forward to get a little sneak peek on the season with Blues head coach Craig Berube tonight. Coach, first of all, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you. How's everything going? Everything going all right in the lead up to Saturday night?
Yeah, everything's good. Thanks for having me on. We're up here in Vail. We got one more day. We'll hit practice here tomorrow, and then we'll head to Denver.
Sounds like Vail would be a pretty easy place to have some fun team bonding in advance of a long season.
Yeah, it's been really good. I think just the guys getting together, you know, doing some fishing, doing some golf, and, you know, getting together for dinners and things like that. So we got new players on this team, some young players. So it's always good to be able to start the season off, to get away and get a little trip like this and get some bonding in. And, you know, at the same time, you know, we've had some real good practices up here and preparing for the opening night in Colorado.
Coach, how close are things to being back to somewhat normal for you guys? I mean, you mentioned getting together. That's something for a couple of years that was a little bit tougher to do. Obviously, 2 years ago, very tough to do with the bubble setup. Are we close to pretty much things feeling like before COVID, the way things are setting up for this year?
Yeah, for me, like personally, I think things do feel real normal. I think they do for the players and the team, too. You know, there's still a couple things, but for overall, you know, guys, they're pretty free to do what they want, get out and enjoy themselves and get together. And having fans back at the stands is going to be great. And, you know, that's why we play this game, and fans are so important to the game.
You know, the consistent topic that I keep coming back to with your team this year, Craig, is the depth that we can see, especially with the forward group. And I don't know if it's good to compare 1 year to another year or whatever, but I don't know that I've seen a group that has more guys that can easily seem like they fit in the top six if a need arises.
Yeah, I believe we got a real deep group of forwards, too. You know, a good mixture of young guys, veteran guys. We've added a couple guys this year with Saad and Bushnevitz. They fit in real nicely. So I like our forward group a lot. I like our team, to be honest with you. I mean, our D-core is what it was last year. They're all back. You know, there's a couple guys with more experience now, Wallman and Mikkola. They got more experience back there. You know, this is Krug's second year, so he's going to feel more comfortable. Falk's been here a couple of years now. Healthy Parenko. Bennington's looked really well in that, and I thought that Husso really came on last year in the second half of the season. So, I mean, I really like her team. Again, you got to go out and perform and play as a team on the ice to make it all work.
You know, you mentioned that really interesting mix. I mean, obviously the new guys, Brandon Saad and Buchnevich, you mentioned, I mean, they're in that middle range age-wise, right? Plenty of experience, but they're not guys in their you know, 32, 33, 34-year-old seasons. But, you know, you've got somebody that people that range from teenager right now to 35, 36 years old. Is that an ideal mix because you have different people that can bring different things to the room?
Yeah, for sure. I think some of our older guys that they've been around, you know, quite sometimes they have won. They're taking on different roles now. They're accepting of that, which is good. We got to, you know, obviously Jake Neighbors made the team. He's 19 years old. He's a young kid, but he's played like a veteran, in my opinion. He's very mature for his age. Clint Cawson, another young kid that, you know, cracked the lineup this year. You know, not a lot of NHL experience. He's played a few games, but, you know, we got a good mixture of people, but our core group is like 28, 29 years old, 27, which is really nice.
You know, I don't want to overhype any rookie. I mean, that'd be unfair to the player first and foremost. But obviously, you said Jake has shown some maturity for 19 years old. He looks like, just from a distance, he's got the body of somebody that's a little bit older. He doesn't look like the physicality should be too much of a problem. What is there anything specific about him that draws you? Is it, you know, the little things that maybe a young guy normally doesn't have locked in?
Yeah, I think the little things are what he does best. You know, he's really on the puck and strong on the puck. The puck follows him. He finds a way to get pucks and create loose pucks for people. He gets to the net. You know, he's a real good penalty killer. You know, he knows how to play the game. He's very smart. He's got a high hockey IQ. You don't really find that so much in 19-year-olds, but he's really developed for his age, mentally and physically, in my opinion. He plays a hard style of game, a working style of game. So those are the things that stand out for me with him.
You know, looking at a couple of the other younger guys, Craig, and they're not as young as him, obviously, but at one point they were guys trying to crack a roster, and that was Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, and both have made significant contributions as NHL players so far. Now that they've been in a few years, do expectations change of them, or is it simply, hey, look, they're going to continue to grow, they're good players, and obviously we want to kind of push them to their limit?
They put expectations on themselves. They want to be great players in this league, and they're going to push themselves to keep trying to improve, and that's good for our hockey team. They've looked really good in training camp. I thought both came in great shape. I thought they both had real good preseason games and camp. I'm excited for them. I think they're going to continue to get better and better as it goes along. You know, I don't really like to put too many expectations on individuals. I think that we put expectations on our team and what we demand of our team and what we demand of our players. Every individual is a little bit different.
For sure, for sure. Well, you mentioned some of those veterans that step into slightly different roles as they get a little bit older. James Neal was in on a tryout. He's made the team. We saw him playing in a couple of different roles in preseason. You know, we all know what he's brought to the table in his career. I mean, this is a guy that scored a lot of goals. He's a big physical guy. How do you go about, you know, working with guys as they adjust to a different type of set of minutes or a different type of role than what they had, you know, a couple years prior?
Well, it starts like with conversations with Neil. You know, he was willing to come here and do whatever we needed of him. He wants to continue to play. He really liked our team, liked the players here and how things work, the organization. So he's just a guy that's going to do what we want, what we ask of him. He's a real good, scorer that's been around a long time. I know he's, older now, but he worked really hard in the summer. He got himself in great shape. He looked good in training camp. I thought that he won a job. And, you know, again, he can provide a number of things for us. Leadership, for sure, he's been around. He's got great energy. You know, what I noticed of him is him talking to younger players during preseason games and just bringing real good energy to our team and life, which is important. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great locker room guy. And, again, so he has the ability to score goals. So he scored a lot of goals in his career.
Craig Berube is with us here on KMOX. Another guy that obviously fits that. And he's been here, you know, he's been here a number of times, but obviously drafted originally by the Blues as David Perron. And it's something, Craig, that makes me feel a little old. I mean, I was there in Columbus the night he was drafted in the first round and, you know, interviewing him. Here he is, a teenager, doing interviews in two languages, and he makes the team that first year. And now looking at him as a 33-year-old and seeing the difference, it is kind of cool to see something like that, a career from the beginning to where he is now and how much he's just grown over all those years.
Yeah, he seems to get better with time, that's for sure. But, you know, he works at his game. He came into camp in great shape too. You know, his testing stuff was off the charts. He's a real hard worker. He's grown and matured over the years, and he's such a competitor and he wants to win all the time. That's the main goal, is he just wants to win. So he does whatever is asked of him. And we really appreciate what he brings to our team, in a lot of different areas, power play, and just the competitiveness he brings and the scoring. You know, he's just, he's really mature, and, you know, again, he just wants to win.
You know, I wanted to go back to one quick thing that you mentioned a bit ago when we were talking, when you're mentioning the guys on defense, and you mentioned how, you know, Torrey Krug now in his second year has had some time to get acclimated, time to get to know everybody. You know, we saw, you know, Justin Falk's first year, it wasn't what we had seen from him previously, but then last year he gets in and it's like, oh, wow, like that's the guy that we saw before. When you are a new guy, even if you're a veteran, when you are a new guy coming into a new place, what kind of challenges does it present? And, you know, does time kind of help you feel like you fit in more or actually find what your role really is?
Yeah, and then, you know, it takes time sometimes, and people all act differently and react differently to a lot of different things. You know, he spent, you know, a long time in Boston, just like Falk spent a long time in Carolina. They got used to a certain way how things were done. And, you know, every team is different. And you come to a new team, and there's different ways that the organization and the team does things. So it takes time. I thought Krug really came on in the second half last year. Like I've said a number of times, he could have easily had 7 or 8 goals by the end of the season. He had a number of real good opportunities to score goals. They just didn't go in. But I thought, you know, he was a big part of the power play picking up, and the power play ended up being real good for the year. And then he started to make the plays that we expected him to make. So I expect him to just carry on from that. Again, he looks good in camp, so I think he'll be fine.
Last thing I have for you, Craig, and that is just a philosophical thing. I mean, you start with Colorado, you got Vegas in the third game. When you start a season, as you go along, how do you break it up when you want to evaluate your team? Is it day by day, or do you take segments, chunks, weeks? How do you look at it when you're looking at the development of the team as the season goes along?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that there's different, you know, ways we evaluate our team at different times, to be honest with you. I really, you know, I've always said it, I'm a game-by-game guy. I really evaluate our team game-by-game. But there is times that we chunk it together in 5-game segments and go over things. Certain things, not everything in the game, but there's certain things that we track and we'll go over every 5 games or so. But I like to evaluate our team game by game. You know, I like to get things out in the open after a game, what we did good, what we could do better. Maybe we've won the game. There's still things we can work on. If we lose the game, you know, you might have played a real good game, but you lost. And, you know, there's still things that you could do better, and there's things that you did really well. So I think it's good to, you know, the team, the players, they know where you stand. They know where they stand. So I find it's good to evaluate game by game. And listen, there is times where we just let it go in games. There's certain times of the year and it gets hard and there's a lot of games. And there's games that you put in the back burner and don't worry about it.
Nice and easy that way. Yeah, that's great stuff. Coach, thank you so much for your time tonight. Have some more fun in Vail before you guys get things down to business on Saturday night in Colorado. Good luck to you, and we'll see you at Enterprise Center here sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
You got it. Craig Berube, head coach of the Blues. Good to get a little fix there. I try to cover as many bases as I can there. I mean, I know you can't get to everything, but to me, that last stuff right there, that's the good stuff. Like, you know, when you get into the minds of, like, how they evaluate and, you know, what goes into it. Like, I love that game by game. Like, hey, I'm big on getting right into it right that day. You know, we did this right. We did this wrong. Let's get that in our heads and then obviously work on it moving forward. Looking forward to Saturday night. Obviously, great stuff. And we'll be talking more Blues tomorrow night as well. Tonight, the rest of the night is going to be about what went on with the Cardinals today. And obviously, you know, changing of the guard with the manager, which doesn't happen, you know, very often with this team. That's kind of the next thing I want to get into. I don't want to start talking about, at least not yet, not tonight. Maybe we'll do a little bit tomorrow night. Certainly we'll do some of this next week. I'm not sure tonight is the best time to start talking about names as potential candidates, but we can talk about which direction they're going, right? We're talking about philosophical differences. So whoever comes in is certainly going to have to meet a certain set of criteria. Do we think this is somebody that's going to be an internal candidate? Do we think it's going to be somebody that could come from the outside? Kind of get into that battle. That back and forth next. We'll talk to Mike Claiborne right after the 7 o'clock news. And after that, I'll open up the phone lines and get your guys' reaction to the Cardinals' move today. So, again, many thanks to Craig Berube for jumping in. We'll get back to baseball next up on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, we're getting back to baseball. We'll catch up with Mike Claiborne just after the 7 o'clock news. After that, we'll open up phone lines and just get your thoughts on the Cardinals moving on from Mike Schilt. I think it's interesting. I'm going to get into the whole hiring from within versus checking out what's outside in a minute. But, you know, social media is always interesting. I think we could probably just leave it at that, right? Social media is always interesting. But it's been a mix of things today. It's like there have been people that have been criticizing Schilt all year that are like, yay! And then there are other people like, oh, no, this is terrible. And it's just like, all right, that's kind of, I know that is kind of the way the world works, especially in that in that realm where you have instant reactions and all of that. I don't know yet. Like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. Like, I don't know that we know yet. I don't know yet what to make of the move. I think Mike Schilt did a really good job. You know, he turned around the 2018 team and they finished strong, won the division in 19. Made the playoffs in COVID year with the weirdest circumstances that any team has ever dealt with ever, and then squeezed into the playoffs this year. And I know you don't want this team to be squeezing in, but, you know, even John Mozeliak has said, he said on the show, you know, they didn't end up having the pitching depth that they thought they did, and that's a big part of why they had to scramble. Now, yeah, the offense had its issues too, but this team counts on pitching and defense every year. That's what they bank on. And the pitching side wasn't there for a lot of this year for a number of reasons, right? Not just one, but for a number of reasons. Injuries would be one. Some guys just not throwing strikes. You know, there's a lot that went into that. So I don't know yet if this change is going to be good or not. I guess some of it's going to be based on who it is, right? Like who's coming in and what their reputation is. And that kind of brings me to the next conversation, which is whether you want to promote from within, which is what they've done, right? When's the last time the Cardinals hired somebody for a significant position like GM or manager from outside the organization? I mean, reality is it's a tough question to answer because Tony La Russa was here for 16 years or whatever it was, but he's the last one. Because when they moved on from Walt Jocketty and went to a new GM, it was Mo. And Mo was an internal candidate. And I think, you know, even though Mike Matheny wasn't a minor league manager or a major league coach, he was with the team. I believe he was a special advisor to the general manager, right? I think that was his title. But he was an internal candidate. That was not, you know, an external guy. That's a Cardinal guy that has worked with you in spring trainings and worked on the broadcast doing studio work and all that. So, you know, that was an internal candidate. Obviously, Mike Schilt was that. So that's their natural tendency is to look to promote from within because they don't want those philosophical differences to pop up. Now, it did here, and it was kind of interesting to listen to how Mozeliak described because I think it was Derek Gould that asked the question. It was something along the lines of, you know, you hired Mike Schilt from the organization because, you know, he's an organizational guy. Essentially, like, where did that separation start? Was it him moving or, you know, did you change? And Mo had an interesting answer, something like, well, you know, my view of things or whatever it was, I can't remember the exact quote, does change. It does evolve over time. We do learn from things that happen and things that are happening even elsewhere. So I don't know. I'm really interested to see whether this is something where they're going to stay in-house. And you've got in-house candidates. We'll talk a little bit about that with Mike Claiborne after the 7 o'clock news. But, Ollie Marmol is your bench coach, and he managed in the minor leagues for you. And he's considered, I don't want to say rising star, that might be a bit of an extreme, but he's a guy who's gaining a reputation as somebody that would be potentially getting managerial interviews here in the not-too-distant future. You've got Stubby Clapp, managed in your minor league system, played in the major leagues, has had interviews for major league jobs. You have Pop Warner on the staff, who managed for you in the upper levels of the minor leagues. So you've got a lot of guys on the staff that have that experience of running a team in your own organization. And, of course, that's what Mike Shildt had. So do you go that route? And does one of them share the philosophy that you want to have for moving forward, whether it's how players, any specific players or a group of players are going to be deployed, or which other members of the coaching staff are going to be kept around and kept in prominence? I mean, whatever that gap is, whatever that is, do they bridge that? Or do you look outside? And, you know, I can see the benefit of both. Like, I can understand why you'd want to stay with people you know, people you've built a relationship with, and say, all right, we agree on this. Let's go forward. That's what they did with Mike Matheny. That's what they did with Mike Shildt, and with both guys to varying degrees of success, right? The early Matheny years were really good, but that was also with a really veteran-laden team that was, you know, a lot, you know, coming off of the La Russa years. So, you know, maybe that was just that. That was kind of the why they had success early on. But anyway, that was the situation there. Mike Shildt was a different spot. He was coming in to clean up something that was a little bit messy and actually did a pretty good job at that. So I'm really interested to see what direction this takes. You know, there are big names that could be out there. You know, there's a trend in Major League Baseball that's happening here these last couple of off seasons where some of the old guard managers are getting new looks. I mean, we've seen Tony La Russa brought back, Dusty Baker brought back. I've seen this offseason that the Padres might look at Buck Showalter. You know, I mean, like some of those guys that for a while here have been kind of pushed aside for younger, less experienced managers who would be more in lockstep with how the front office sees things. And also, you know, more attuned to things that are new in the game, you know, analytics departments, the tools and the technology that's used now to help players get better. I mean, there are a lot of different things that have changed. So I think that's a fascinating angle on this. Do you want to go outside to get a fresh view, to maybe get a different set of inputs that can take what you do now and make it better? Or take what you do now that works and keep it, and what you're doing that's not working as well, and maybe add to that, fix that part, repair that a bit by getting somebody who has you know, expertise from a separate position, an outside view, if you will. I mean, you can really make either argument, right? I think a lot of people are going to be like, let's have the outside voice. Let's bring in somebody that isn't already, you know, part of how this is already being done. And again, to me, it's not about internal or external. To me, it's about who it is and, you know, how they present themselves to. Because it can all work. I mean, you know, we all wanted, you know, everybody was like, maybe it should be Terry Francona or whatever. But, you know, maybe it should be somebody like that this time around. Maybe it should be a bigger name, you know? And we'll get to some names maybe tomorrow night, definitely next week. There's some interesting ones out there, guys that have worn a Cardinals uniform that have either had a chance to interview for managerial jobs or are kind of working their way in that direction. Let me get to some of those names coming up tomorrow night, I think. Maybe at least a couple of them, and then expand that next week. We're going to talk to Mike Claiborne when we get back from the news here on KMOX.